All right, well, welcome everybody. First of all, I just want to say on behalf of my wife and I and our family, thank you. Thank you for over the last 9 years. It's been 9 years since I first arrived, and every 3 years we come back and greet this fellowship. And I just want to say thank you for supporting us monthly. Thank you for praying for us. It's one of those things, we know that we are not alone, and we know that there are many supporters behind us that allow us to do what we do. After sharing, if you have any questions, please feel free. I think I'll share enough to give you an update, but if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to share. So this is our new prayer card. So those of you that don't know me, I'll give a little background. I grew up in a dairy farm in Kingsford, Ontario, which is just north of Deserano. Thought I would never leave the dairy farm, thought that's what I would be doing. And 24 years ago this September is when I first left Canada, telling God 6 months that I'll do 6 months with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and then would come home. Well, 24 years later, I am still serving overseas. So it's one of those things I've realized that sometimes when I tell God my plans, he laughs, and his plans are always better than mine, and I'm thankful for that. So we do have 4 kids. Miriam is 20. She'll be 21 in January. She's going into her 3rd year of college at Humber College in Toronto. So she came back 3 years ago. And then Rachel, who is with me, she is about to enter her 1st year of university at Kingswood University in New Brunswick. Used to be Bethany Bible College. It's now Kingswood. She's going to do business. And then Rebecca and Jonathan went back last week with mom back to Cambodia because their school started on August 5th. So Rebecca's in grade 9 and Jonathan is in grade 3. And I'm actually not sure if Jonathan's ever been here, because I think the last time I came, Jonathan wasn't with me. So I don't know if you guys have actually met Jonathan. So I apologize. He is real. And we are very, very grateful for him being in our lives. So this is the verse that we live by. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and I am surely with you always to the end of age. We have truly felt that God has been with us every step of the way. Every time there's been a heartache, every time there's been a joy, every time that other people have come into our lives, we know and feel that God has been with us. And it's that desire to be able to let other people know that goodness, to other people know that truth, and to be able to share the word of God, to be able to disciple, to be able to come alongside. One of the things that I've always recognized is that a Cambodian or a local person who knows the language, knows the culture, they're always going to be a better missionary than any foreigner coming in. If they know the language, they know the gospel, they know the culture, they can share. But one of the things, at least in Cambodia, discipleship is needed. And so there's a lot of people that say, yes, yes, we believe, but we don't know how to share. We don't know how to live it out because my wife, for example, was a first-generation Christian. She believed when she was 16 years old from a local church that was near her house. 3 years later, she brought her mom and brothers to the Lord. But it was one of those things, they grew up Buddhist. My wife was actually, you could say, a modern-day Paul. Before she came to know Christ, they were actually training her to be the next witch doctor in the town. And so she was persecuting the Christians before the age of 16. But when she came to know Christ, she's never looked back. And she wants her people to know that there is another way and that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so having a local on fire it's one of those things that when my wife comes into the different groups, which I'll share in a minute, a lot of times the kids are like, come on, Dad, let's go, let's go. I'm like, nope, just let your mom be. Because we know that God is using her to reach her people. So this is a video, an overview of what we are doing. Greetings from Cambodia. We are Matthew and Sonri McCullough. We serve as missionaries with our 4 children. After first arriving in Phnom Penh of January of 2002, and then after getting married in July of 2003, it has been our desire as a family to share the good news and disciple those who the Lord brings across our path. We are serving full-time with individuals who have been mistreated, confused about life. We'll just switch it, because that one's lagging, but we have one that will not lag. In the PowerPoint, unfortunately, it sometimes lags. Greetings from Cambodia. We are Matthew and Sonri McCullough. We serve as missionaries with our four children. After first arriving in Phnom Penh in January of 2002, and then after getting married in July of 2003, it has been our desire as a family to share the good news and disciple those who the Lord brings across our path. We are serving full-time with individuals who have been mistreated, confused about life, bringing the love and grace of Jesus Christ into their lives, encouraging them to live according to the Word of God, following Jesus Christ as their example for life.
ជម្រាប សួរ ខ្ញុំ ឈ្មោះ សុក យឹមយុ បាទ មុន ពេល ដែល ខ្ញុំ ស្គាល់ ពួក គាត់ ខ្ញុំ រៀង មាន បាទ គឺ ខ្ញុំ មាន បញ្ហា ច្រើន ជាមួយ នឹង ការ លបួង របស់ ខ្ញុំ អញ្ចឹង នៅ ពេល ដែល ខ្ញុំ ស្គាល់ បង មថាយ ដែល គាត់ ជា អ្នក ដែល ជួយ ណែ នាំ ខ្ញុំ ជាមួយ នឹង បាទ ជាមួយ នឹង របៀប មួយ ចំនួន ដែល ខ្ញុំ អាច នឹង បន្ត ដំណើរ ជាមួយ នឹង ព្រះ អង្គ ហើយ ក៏ ដូច ជា តាម រយៈ celebrate recovery ដែល ជួយ នាំ ផ្លូវ ខ្ញុំ ច្រើន ហើយ ក្នុង ការ ដែល ឲ្យ ខ្ញុំ បាន រីក ចម្រើន ឡើង ពី មួយ ថ្ងៃ ទៅ មួយ ថ្ងៃ ហើយ ខ្ញុំ កាន់ តែ មាន ជីវិត កាន់ តែ ប្រសើរ ឡើង មុន ពេល ដែល ខ្ញុំ ចែកចាយ រឿង នឹង ទៅ កាន់ គាត់ គឺ ខ្ញុំ បាន មាន អារម្មណ៍ មួយ ថា ខ្ញុំ ចង់ សម្លាប់ ខ្លួន ពី ព្រោះ ខ្ញុំ មាន អារម្មណ៍ ថា បាទ ខ្ញុំ អត់ ដឹង ថា ខ្ញុំ មាន វិធី សាស្ត្រ ណា ខ្លះ ដែល ខ្ញុំ អាច បន្ត ដំណើរ ទៅ មុខ ទៀត ខ្ញុំ អត់ ដឹង ថា ខ្ញុំ ត្រូវ ធ្វើ អី បន្ត ទៀត ហើយ ខ្ញុំ ក៏ អត់ មាន សង្ឃឹម ថា ខ្ញុំ នឹង អាច បន្ត ធ្វើពន្ធកិច្ច របស់ ព្រះអង្គ បាន បន្ត ទៀត ពី ព្រោះ តែ បាទ ខ្ញុំ មាន ជំងឺ ប្រចាំ កាយ បន្ទាប់ ពី ខ្ញុំ បាន ទៅ ចូល រៀន counseling នៅ វគ្គ ទី 1 វា ពិត ជា ជួយ វា ពិត ជា ជួយ ខ្ញុំ កាន់ តែ ខ្លាំង ថែម ទៀត ពី ព្រោះ វគ្គ សិក្សា counseling នោះ ក៏ វា ជួយ ខ្ញុំ ឲ្យ បាន បាទ រីក ចម្រើន ឡើង ខាង ផ្នត់ កំណត់ ខាង ចិត្ត ហើយ ជា ពិសេស បាទ កាន់ តែ មាន ទំនាក់ ទំនង ជាមួយ នឹង ព្រះអង្គ ថែម ទៀត ហើយ ធ្វើ ខ្ញុំ កាន់ តែ រីក ចម្រើន ថែម ទៀត ជាមួយ នឹង ខ្ញុំ អាច មាន សមត្ថ ភាព ក្នុង ការ ដែល ចែករំលែកនៅក្នុងការដែលក្តីស្រឡាញ់ទាំងអស់នោះហើយចែករំលែកនៅអ្វីដែលជាក្តីសង្ឃឹមនោះទៅកាន់អ្នកផ្សេងទៀតបាទហើយនេះគឺជាអ្វីដែលជាសមិទ្ធផលគឺជាអីដែលគាត់បានជួយខ្ញុំច្រើនមែនទែនបាទអរគុណព្រះអង្គដែលធ្វើការតាមរយៈពួកគាត់ទាំងពីរនាក់ដែលបាទបានជួយឲ្យខ្ញុំបានរីកចម្រើនឡើងជួយឲ្យខ្ញុំបានក្លាយជាម្នាក់ដែលហ៊ាននិយាយហ៊ានចេញទៅហ៊ាននៅក្នុងការដែលផ្ដល់ចែកចម្រែកក្តីស្រឡាញ់ទៅកាន់មនុស្សផ្សេងទៀត
We reach out through small groups, support groups, and using the 12-step Christian program Celebrate Recovery, helping anyone deal and understand getting healing over their hurt, hang-up, or habits. Currently, we are overseeing the entire ministry here in Phnom Penh. It is our desire to raise up more leaders and facilitators to reach out in more areas around the city, province, and country. It is our desire to bring the hope and love to anyone who is struggling in any area, to come alongside and speak life into them, bring encouragement through the Word of God.
God allowing me to coming alongside at the young lady that is my dream, that I want to be an older sister, and the special is in Christian encouraging them, loving them, doing the same what Christ giving to me, and I want that experience to all to the young girl, and I am very honored to coming alongside them.
ខ្ញុំបានទៅ Celebrate Recovery 3-4 ដងទៀតតែខ្ញុំបានជួបបងណារីបងណារីគាត់ជាមនុស្សម្នាក់ដែលគាត់មានភាពកក់ក្ដៅគាត់ស្រឡាញ់ខ្ញុំដូចប្អូនស្រីបង្កើតអញ្ចឹងខ្ញុំចាប់ផ្ដើមបើកចិត្តរបស់ខ្ញុំចែករំលែកជាមួយគាត់ខ្ញុំចាប់ផ្ដើមប្រាប់រឿងការលំបាករបស់ខ្ញុំដោយសារតែខ្ញុំស្គាល់បងណារីហើយនឹងក្រុមបងប្អូនដែលនៅក្នុងក្រុមតូចរបស់ខ្ញុំហ្នឹងគឺពួកគាត់ស្រឡាញ់ខ្ញុំគាត់ផ្ដល់ភាពកក់ក្ដៅឲ្យខ្ញុំហើយឲ្យខ្ញុំមានអារម្មណ៍ថាសុវត្ថិភាពនៅក្នុងការចែករំលែកអញ្ចឹងខ្ញុំចាប់ផ្ដើមបើកចាប់ខ្ញុំចាប់ផ្ដើមមានភាពក្លាហាននៅក្នុងការចែករំលែកអីដែលជាទុក្ខលំបាករបស់ខ្ញុំស្អីដែលជាការតយុទ្ធនៅក្នុងខាងព្រលឹងវិញ្ញាណរបស់ខ្ញុំហើយនឹង ំពើបាបផ្សេងផ្សេងទៀតហើយបងណារីគាត់តែងតែនៅចិត្តខ្ញុំហើយលើកទឹកចិត្តខ្ញុំទាំងអស់ហើយគាត់ដែរបង្ខំខ្ញុំរឿងអីក៏គាត់អត់បង្ខំដែរពីព្រោះគាត់ដឹងថាគ្រប់យ៉ាងគឺមានពេលរបស់វាគឺព្រះអង្គគឺអ្នកសម្រាប់រឿងនឹងមិនមែនអ្នកណាអ្នកសម្រាប់រឿងនឹងឯងចាឲ្យខ្ញុំអរគុណបងណារីនិងបងមថាយហើយនឹង celebrate recovery ដូចគ្នាបើអត់មានពួកគាត់ទេខ្ញុំមិនស្គាល់ថាព្រះអង្គជាអ្នកណាខ្ញុំមិនដឹងថាដើរជាមួយព្រះអង្គគឺរបៀបណាហើយតើជំនឿខ្ញុំនឹងទៅបែបណាចាអរគុណខ្ញុំមានអរគុណ
We want to take time to thank everyone who has partnered with us through prayer and financial support. We know we are not here alone in doing this ministry. Since 2002, the Lord has been faithful, and we are so grateful for the love and support we have received from many. Thank you, and may God's richest blessings be upon you.
Thank you so much, and may God bless you all.
Thank you. Greetings from So as we mentioned, we use the 12-step program, Celebrate Recovery, along with the 12 steps that it's the same 12 steps that AA would have or NA would have, but everything is focused back on Jesus Christ. And as on top of the 12 steps, there are 8 principles. And I've read them before, but I'm not sure if I've done it here. So I want to just quickly go through them and just explain why this is on our heart and why this is our desire. Number one, realize that I'm not God. Admit that I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing and that my life's unmanageable. A lot of times, at least in my life, I tried to do things on my own. I'm like, I can do this. I don't need help. I don't need support. I can get this through. And so a lot of times it's like, no, God just wants me to surrender to him each day. He just wants me to say, what do you have for me today? What can I do to reach out to you? And so just realizing that I can't do it on my own and that I need God. The verse that goes with it is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:3. Number two, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. I've always believed that God exists. I grew up in the church in Deserano, went to Sunday school my whole life. I always believed, but I did not believe that I mattered to God. Because when I was a child, I was molested, and I went through some difficult things. And I wouldn't talk about that until about 9-10 years ago. And I'm now realizing what Satan tried to destroy in my own life. I'm now able to give God glory and to help other brothers and to come alongside others and say, just because you've had difficult things happen to you does not mean your life's over. God can still use you as he's using me. The verse that goes with that is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Matthew 5:4. Number three, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. I think a lot of times I was like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, it's over there, but I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. But it's saying, no, I want to commit to every part of my life, everything. God, what do you want me to do? And for these last 24 years, that has been the privilege and the honor of being able to be Jesus' hands and feet to the people that God brings across our path. The verse is, blessed are the meek, for those will inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. Number four, openly examine and confess my hurts, hang-ups, and habits to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. A lot of times we will sin, we will struggle, but we'll only talk to God. You know, and James 5:16 says that if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, you will be healed. God is the one that offers the forgiveness. But when I confess my sins to my brothers and they pray for me, that's where the healing. There's no rejection, there's no shame, there's no judgment. That's where the healing takes place. So if you don't have sisters, if you don't have brothers that you can talk to, that you can share with, I highly recommend it. Because ever since I've been able to walk in the light as he is in the light, that's when the freedoms come. That's when I've been able to help and serve others. The verse that goes with that is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, Matthew 5:8. Next one is voluntarily submit to any and all changes God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defaults. We all have things. We all have difficulties. Some of it may be pride. Some of it may be judgment. Some of it may be discouragement or hatred or unforgiveness or whatever the case may be. But it's one of those things, God, I voluntarily submit. Please take any character, show me what that is so I can repent. Because if I don't, so, like, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you exactly what's wrong. But sometimes I don't see it. And so I need to let the Holy Spirit show me what I've done wrong so I can submit and repent. Blessed are those who hunger for and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. Evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for the harm that I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would harm them or others. What are the relationships that I have on a regular basis? Am I hanging out with people that encourage me in my walk with Jesus? Or am I hanging out with people that pull me away from Christ, that have me do other things? What are the relationships that I have in my life? And at the same time, who have I hurt? Because I know I've hurt people. I've hurt my wife. I've hurt my kids. In April, I received my 6-year chip coin at Celebrate Recovery for not having anger outburst. And you may say, hold on. You know, you've been a missionary for 23, 24 years. You've only not had anger outburst for 6 years? That's true. And I'm not proud of that. But only my wife and my kids knew it. And by God's grace, they forgave me, and we're walking in that righteousness with each other. But it was one of those things that, because of what happened to me as a child, I didn't want anyone to find out. And so I reacted out of anger. I reacted out of control. And if I lost control, I'd get angry. And it's one of those things that once I got healing from the original hurt, then I don't have to act out of control. I don't have to act out of anger anymore. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy, Matthew 5:7. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God, Matthew 5:9. Number 7, to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, in order to know God and his will for my life, and to gain the power to follow his will. There is nothing I can do if I don't know God's will. If I don't know God's word, if I don't know the path that he has for me, I believe any question I will ever ask, the answers are in the word of God. Sometimes they may not be the answers I want, but they're the answers I need. And so being able to dig into God's word every day and reflect, okay, what did I do yesterday? Did I say something? Did I do something that may have hurt somebody, that may have harmed somebody, and I need to ask forgiveness for? But also, God, what do you have for me today? You know, in living this life of discipleship, first myself, then with my family, and then going out with others. And the last principle is, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. To me, that's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go, to make disciples, to baptize, to share, to pass down. Deuteronomy says, when you walk along the road, when you sit down, pass down from generation to generation to your kids what are stuff that you've learned that you can pass down. Because here's the thing, at least in Cambodia, an individual that is a Buddhist is not going to pass down Christian values. You know, someone that is a Muslim, they're not going to pass down the truths of what the Word of God says. It's got to come from us who believe in Jesus Christ. We're the ones, and it doesn't have to be a pastor or a missionary. We can be the examples. You know, I like to ask people, you know, if I were to go into your neighborhood, you know, and ask your neighbors, would your neighbors know that you're Christians? And more importantly, would they know that you're followers of Christ? Because some people say they're a Christian, but I've also had many people come to me and say, you know what, I would have accepted Christ a long time ago if it wasn't for the Christians. Because unfortunately, there has been judgment and there has been shame. So with our Celebrate Recovery, we've had individuals walk in drunk. We've had individuals walk in struggling. We've had prostitutes and homosexuals and people walk in. They're more than welcome to walk in. But I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. I'm not going to go against what God's calling us. I'm going to love. I'm going to support. I'm going to come alongside. But we're also going to speak the truth. We're also going to speak that in love and grace. And so the one thing about our Celebrate Recovery is we're about 75% missionaries. Because even the missionaries, we have our own hurts, habits, and hangups. And so having a weekly member care, having time that people can come and share in a confidential group. Because the groups are, you walk inside these small groups or support groups, and you can openly share no matter what. And know that whatever is shared in that group will stay in that group. So you really grow as brothers, you grow as sisters. And we've had sisters that now are able to stand up and say, you know what? I celebrate recovery over this issue that I thought it was a guy's problem, but I have struggled with it for years. And they confess it within our group. And we are so proud of our sisters to be able to do that, because they never had that opportunity to be able to share both things. Guys have been confessing in different things, but it's recognizing, okay, what has God done in our lives? And what kind of story? 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I would ask by my children, can you go into our school? They go to an international school in Phnom Penh. It's a Christian school. Would you come and speak at our chapel, Dad, and share your story? And I'm like, nope, that ain't gonna happen. That was asked in August. Finally, in April, I finally surrendered and said, okay, only if there's a spot. But you know what? I only have these certain dates, and there's only certain dates for chapel. So in my head, it's not going to work. So I called the teacher, and I said, okay, my children have asked me to do this. And he knew my story, and he's like, yeah, of course, 100%. I'm like, but I only have these dates. I flew back in from Australia on the Tuesday. Chapel was on the Wednesday, and I flew out to Japan on the Thursday. God knew that I was going to be there at the exact time the chapel was available. And so I shared in front of middle schoolers and high schoolers, about 150 in each, and I just openly shared. So this is what's happened to me as a child. This is the struggles I went through. And the thing is I was very open and honest, because I'm like, what would have happened to me at Tainanega Public School or Napanee High School when I was there, if somebody had come in and said, hey, guys go through this? Because I never got the sex talk from my parents. I never had that support. And I know the older generation doesn't want to talk about it that much, but the younger generation needs you to talk about it. And so I stood there, and that opened a can of worms for the counselors and the teachers, but it gave freedom for the students to come forward and allow them to say, hey, I'm not the only one. Because I know for years, I honestly thought I was the only one going through what I went through. And I realized that that's not the case. So how can we come alongside the younger generation and be able to bring truth? I had one lady in Ottawa, as I shared at the Metropolitan Bible Church, and I was going to share it to the youth group, and she's like, you can't talk about that stuff, because we work in human trafficking, and we're going to talk about addictions and stuff. You can't say that stuff to the youth. And my word was, would you rather have him hear it on the street? Or would you rather have a point of view from a pastor or a missionary? Because it's one of those things, I guarantee, with smartphones, they're hearing it already. They say the new age of kids getting addicted to that stuff is 6-7 years old, because they have cell phones or they have tablets. And so it's one of those things, as parents, I want to be the best godly parent. I'm not perfect, and my children will tell you that I'm not perfect. But my children know that if there's anything ever that they're going through, they can come to mom and dad, and they can talk, and we'll discuss it, and we'll share about it. And we may not always agree, but they know that I'm going to point them back to the Word of God. And so that's what we do. We get to run Celebrate Recovery, the Cambodians as well. So this top picture, this one up here, I think that's it. Oh, there we go. So this was a celebration of life. One of our leaders passed away in May, unexpectedly. She was in the hospital. We had all prayed for her. We thought she'd be healed. And she was actually on her way home in the ambulance. They were going to have a party for her that night. And 10 minutes before she arrived at home, she took her last breath in the ambulance. So she was an individual that she would roll into the room and just light up the place. And that's correct. I say roll into the room because she had been in a wheelchair for over 20 years. Because in Cambodia, it's not okay to have a special need. It's not okay to have a disability of anything. But it's one of those things in the Bible, in Jesus' heart, it is okay. And so she came, when she first came to Celebrate Recovery, very depressed, not having a lot of love or support in her life. There was one missionary that she came with that loved on her. And she came to my wife and said, I really feel like I need to go to Bible college, because she had accepted Christ. But she's like, no one wants me to, because no one said I'm going to amount to anything. And so my wife would walk or talk with her and hang out with her, and she did do Bible college. She did 4 years. And after that, even through Bible college, it's like, why are you doing this? No one's going to hire you. No one's going to, you're in a wheelchair. There's nothing that you can do. Well, when she graduated, God had provided her the perfect job. Like, if you are somebody that has been set free from alcohol or drugs, you are the perfect person to minister to somebody that is struggling with alcohol or drugs. I've never done that. I can be your brother, I can be a support, but I don't understand that area because I've never done drugs or alcohol. I understand abuse, I understand addictions, I can come alongside there. But this individual, I worked at Christian Horizons in Ottawa, which is the group homes for special needs, for 2.5 years. And I loved on them, I was there with them, and I came alongside. They taught me way more probably than I ever taught them. But it's one of those things that I can tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for you. And they're like, You have no idea what I go through. You don't have this need. You're not in a wheelchair, this or that. But Hosanna could go into a room and she can say, Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you. And because of her own strengths, in my opinion, she then can use that to reach others. And so somebody that thought that she was nothing and had no value, there were over 100 people that showed up for her celebration of life. Testimony after testimony after testimony of people coming up of how Hosanna had changed their hearts and how God had used Hosanna. So it doesn't matter what a disability may be, or it doesn't matter what a weakness may be or a struggle may be, if we are completely surrendered to Jesus Christ and we're completely surrendered to God's will, He will use even stuff that Satan tried to destroy in our lives. So Nuri and I have had the opportunity to go to Singapore to share our testimony in Singapore. The bottom picture underneath the celebration of life is Nuri and I teaching over 40 pastors. How do you use Celebrate Recovery as a program, as a tool, one tool for discipleship? Because in Cambodia, there's a lot of addictions. The Khmer Rouge just hit 45 years of Cambodians coming to North America after the Khmer Rouge when over 3 million people were killed. And there is a lot, the older generation, there's a lot of hurt. And it just gets pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. And if you constantly are pushing down your hurts, eventually at some point, it may just volcano and erupt. And so how can we come alongside as brothers and sisters to each other? Am I hitting this right? Let's go to the next one. I don't know why it's... There we go. So Nuri continues to teach survivors of human trafficking. She teaches at a couple different locations, being able to just ladies that thought they had no hope because of what they went through. Parents that sold them, making their own choices, but they had been rescued. They have been put into a safe house or being rehabilitated to be able to go back in society. And so Nuri has been the guest speaker several times, been there to baptize many of the girls and just serve. And so one of the places is a restaurant. And last summer I was asked to be their general manager for 2 months as the owner went back. And just being able to just to walk with them, to journey with them, to encourage them. It's been really good. We've also, one of the things has been the Alpha Marriage Program. And so we did it at the Cambodian Church in Ottawa, but it's one of those things that Celebrate Recovery changes the individual. The marriage course changes the husband and wife, which changes the family, and then can change society. And it's one of those things that when we did it in Ottawa, we did it in English. And Nuri's prayer and desire was it always would be in Cambodian language. And so it was translated by Alpha Cambodia, and we led the first marriage Alpha course with over 24 couples coming out. One of the testimonies that came in, one of the couples that came from our church, they're like, we don't really need this. We have a perfect marriage. We're like, oh, great. That's excellent, because I wish we had a perfect marriage. After the first night, they went home. They came back the second week. They're like, we went home and fought. We don't understand. They had never communicated, because in Cambodian culture, husband and wife don't communicate. It's just, you just do it. And so we've given them these tools to say, you know what? Because one of the questions is, when did your spouse hurt you? And it's never been talked about. When did the other spouse hurt you? And you discuss those things. And if those things are never brought up, but once they're brought up, you have this healthy communication. And through showered with prayer, showered with couples coming alongside each other, it's one of those things that Satan then has no control. Because things have been brought into the light, and then you're actually able to address the issues. We were the guest speakers, the host, with Nikki and Scylla Lee, for over 150 couples that came out for a marriage conference. So it's just one of those things of, okay, what else can we bring to Cambodia to help improve individuals and marriages and stuff like that? Cross-cultural marriage, because we are a cross-cultural couple, we realize that we have done a lot of mistakes over the years of, do we raise our kids Canadian? Do we raise our kids Cambodian? They go to an American school. They're not messed up. but we realize that we're not the only ones that needed this advice or suggestions on how this is. One of the things that's been really hard for me, and I'm like, God, I don't understand, but I trust you, is that there has been several times that I have been out with my daughters, and I have gotten the looks, and I have gotten the comments of, there's the old white guy with the young Cambodian girls. These are my daughters. I can come into the church today and be with my daughter, and nobody's asking if it's my wife. Nobody's asking, is that your girlfriend? I don't understand why there's evil in this world. I don't understand why God allows the pedophiles and the different people that go to Cambodia to abuse and hurt young women. I don't understand. But one of the things that brought healing to my life, when we had our first marriage retreat, one of the other Canadian men stood up and said, you know what? When my daughter, all through high school, she avoided me. And I couldn't figure out why. Until she got into her first year of university, and she called back and said, Dad, I'm sorry, but everybody was making comments at me when I walked with you in the mall. Her dad never knew. And I just thought it was me. And I now know, okay, how can we use our pain to help others, to encourage others? Nuria has been the guest speaker at the Wesleyan Conference for the women, as well as we've been able to do small groups at our church. Our desire is to, wherever we go, how can we be the hands and feet of Christ to each other, to our family, to each other? How can we disciple? How can we be disciplers that make disciples that make disciples? Because we don't just want us to just be our family. We don't just want to be our church. We want them to grow and to make other disciples as well. So in Cambodia, there's about 17.8 million people. In Phnom Penh, where we live, there's 2.4 million. So our city is probably the size of Kingston, with 2.4 million people. Very crowded. But it's one of those things, when I first went to Cambodia, there was 0.003% Christian. As of last year, with the Joshua Project, they're now saying it's over 3% Christian. So Christianity is growing, but it's not there yet. And so it is our desire and our prayer request is that people would continue to pray for Southeast Asia. This is a new development, but another prayer request. Thailand and Cambodia right now are not doing so well. When Nuri got on the plane last week with the kids, my oldest kept information back because she knew that my wife would not do well, her mom. And Thailand had just bombed Cambodia. We're safe. It's up north, 13 hours away from where my wife was landing. But it's still hard because we want peace. Cambodia wants peace. They don't want another difficulty. And so there's a lot of people reaching out. And so just prayers over the city as well as the countryside. Because there's a lot of people in the countryside of Cambodia that still don't know Christ. There's a lot of churches and mission organizations that are coming together, and they're working together hand in hand. How do we share to every village? How do we share to every community that everybody would have at least one group of believers that they could get answers and they can get prayer from? And so it's been really encouraging to see the organizations and the different churches coming together for one purpose, and that is to share the word of God and to allow people to know Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures we use is this, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the adulterers, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. It's one of those things, it does not matter what somebody goes through or is going through before they walk into our meetings, before they walk into our small groups. What matters is what are they choosing to do when they leave? How can we come alongside of them? How can we encourage them? You know, I think a lot of times, and we've said this to the different churches in Cambodia, are you willing to open your doors to the homeless, to the difficulties, to the people that are struggling? Because if we aren't the first faith that face people are seeing, how are people going to honestly know what Jesus Christ is like? Because Jesus came for the sick. He didn't come for the healthy. So how can we be the hands and feet of Christ? You know, and I know somebody last night, we were at a fundraiser last night in Lanark for us, and somebody flat out asked me, well, do you accept these people? I'm like, I accept all people. I don't accept my sin. I'm not okay with my sin. That's why I'm accountable. That's why I have mentors. That's why I have senior men that are speaking into my life, because I am in this sanctification process. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in that sanctification process. And that will continue until we get to heaven and we pass away. But it's one of those things that we are called to not give up meeting together. We're called to be able to pray for each other, to reach out with each other, no matter what somebody is going through. And I know I was one of those people before that I would judge this or judge that, and I thankfully have been able to repent. Thankfully, that is not who I am today. But it's one of those things that who in your life, who in your sphere of influence, who in your neighborhood needs to see Jesus, needs to see Jesus' hands and feet through you. And maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they are an alcoholic. Maybe they are a drug dealer. Maybe they, like, whatever that may be. But how can we truly be the church? It's not just within the walls. We are the church outside. And to me, that is a disciple of Christ. It will take sacrifice. If I don't pay anything being a disciple, then I'm truly probably not being a disciple. But it will cost me. It will cost emotions. It'll cost spiritual, it costs physical, it costs intellectually. It's going to cost me something, always, to be a disciple of Christ. And this is what we want. So no matter what somebody's coming through, you know, I remember standing, talking when we were working with, I was working with men coming out of human trafficking. And that was, I did that for 4 years before Celebrate Recovery. And I remember being at a church in Michigan, and the pastor was like, okay, we're going to have question and answer. Anybody ask, you know, Matthew, anything. And one of the guys raised his hands, and he's like, so you're telling me that we're supposed to allow homosexuals into our church? I said, may I ask you a question? Yeah. Am I supposed to allow the boyfriend and girlfriend in your youth group having sex into this church? Because I know society. I don't agree with it. I want the Word of God. I want people to live by the Word of God. But I'm like, what's the difference? It's both sin. Like, I want to be the love and grace that Jesus has given to me. My daughter said to me, my oldest, 3 years ago, Dad, if you could go back, you could change everything, would you? And I remember for years, I begged God, God, please change me. Please help me. Please take this away. But I had to say to my daughter, if I had to go back, I would get bullied again in public school. I'd get picked on. I'd get molested. I'd get abused. I would do everything I did because it led me to the end of my rope. It led me to YWAM Youth with a Mission, took me to Australia, led me to Cambodia, brought me to an amazing wife and 4 amazing kids. I would not be here today if I didn't go through what I went through. Now, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I would not want any child to go through what I went through. But I know that what Satan tried to destroy in my life, I now get to use for the glory of God. And that when brothers come alongside of me and love me and support me and receive me, that is the greatest gift that anybody could ever give me. And that's what I want to be to other brothers. That's what I want my wife wants to be to other sisters. And so I don't know your stories. I don't know what you've been through. But I know there's a reason. Because God does not waste a hurt. God does not waste anything. There is a reason for anything. So my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that no matter what we are going through, that you'll say, yes, send me. Yes, I surrender. Yes, use me. Whatever that may be. It may be overseas. You know, if you want to come to Cambodia, we need teachers, we need doctors, we need engineers, we need nurses. We'll take them. But you're also here for a reason. And I never, like the street that I am on, I believe that God planted us there for a reason. We are called to be a light. We are called to be an encouragement in this dark world. And so, I don't know, but I would say in your quiet time, ask God. God, how can you use me? How can you use what Satan tried to do in my life? And how can I bring you glory and honor? One of the things that I am thankful for is men's ministry, because I get to use my story and I get to use what I've learned to be able to pour into other men. So we've had several men's retreats. One is coming up. If you're say, hey, you know what? This ministry, the men's retreat, it's go deep or go home. This is who I am. I'm like, we're going to know each other. We're gonna live life on life with each other. We're going to pray for each other. And so at Roblin Camp, which is just north of Napanee, Friday, Saturday, August 22nd to 23rd, if anyone is like, you know what? That's the kind of brotherhood I want. I want to be known. I want to be seen. I want to truly be used, then please let me know. There is flyers out on the table as well. And this is what I do. The last retreat I led was in Australia in April. I had two senior pastors, two missionaries, and the other eight individuals were just normal Australians, Christian men. And some of the stuff that was shared, one of the senior pastors had said, I thought I was going to take this to the grave. I never thought I would share this ever. One of the individuals that led worship, because I had sent a message out to the group, hey, I'd love some worship. I don't play guitar. I don't do that. I can sing. But if somebody would be willing to help with worship, that'd be fantastic. One guy's like, well, I used to, but I don't anymore. And I'm like, that's great. Nah, come on. That'd be great. So he designed this whole book of songs. And he did a fantastic job. But on the retreat, he openly shared what he had done and what he was struggling with and what he was going through. And he got prayer. He got hands laid on him. A month later, we got a message from him. He is now the worship leader in his church. But he thought he could never lead worship because of all the stuff that he was doing in the closets and behind closed doors. So it's one of those things, if somebody speaks life into you, Satan has no control. You bring stuff into the light, and God doesn't use perfect people because there's no perfect person on this world. And so the question is, are we willing to surrender? Are we willing to trust? And that's what my wife and I have done. So while we are doing ministry, my kids are at schooling, doing schooling. So this was the beginning of last school year. I should have updated one because we have an updated one of Rebecca and Jonathan starting school this year. But they get to go to Logos International School, which is a Christian school in Phnom Penh. All the teachers are Christians, so they're as missionaries themselves. And this past year, as we had the award ceremony, one of the things that is huge for me, because I know my kids are amazing, because we all think our kids are amazing, but when someone else recognizes our kids. And so Rebecca, who was in grade 9, last year grade 8, she got MVP over soccer. Over Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, and Cambodia, all the coaches of the 16 teams recognized her as the MVP. Not just for her skills, but for her character, the way that she handled herself on the soccer pitch, or football for those that are in Southeast Asia. But it's one of those things that when somebody recognizes, because my wife and I, sometimes we feel like we screwed up. We didn't do everything we should have or could have for our kids. And to see that our kids get recognized was a huge thing. Rachel got Spiritual Life Award at the end and high honors for 2 years in a row. So every subject over 90%, 93%. But it's just one of those things that having our kids go to an international school is not cheap, but it is the cheapest school that was in Phnom Penh that Canada would recognize. So when Miriam came back 3 years ago, she went right into Tyndale University, used to be Tyndale Bible College. When Rachel applied, yep, we accept your transcript, and she went straight from Cambodia into. So our biggest prayer request for our kids, because it's not just us that are doing missions, it's our kids as well, but the biggest prayer request is, especially right now for Rachel, in 3 weeks, I will be taking her to New Brunswick as she enters Kingswood University, which used to be Bethany Bible College. And this will be her first time out of Cambodia into a school system for a long period of time. She left Canada. We were at the Cambodian church in Ottawa for 3 years, but she left Canada a year and a half. So Cambodia is all she's ever known. And she's already had moments of culture shock and moments of struggling being back here in Canada. So having people praying for our kids is huge. Miriam's first year was very rough. We actually flew back at Christmas just to be with her. But we can't do that all the time because it's not cheap to fly a family back. But we trust the sovereignty of God, and we trust that they are doing, they are where they should be and where God wants them. So just prayers for them. It'll be a little different when Rebecca and Jonathan come, because Rebecca arrived in Cambodia at 2 months old and Jonathan was born in Cambodia. So when they come back to Canada, they will be fully Cambodian in that sense. So just prayer for the kids would be amazing. We are here in Canada once every 3 years. Our next time coming back will be actually 4 years. We won't be back in Canada for 4 years, and the plan will be to stay for the whole year so that Jonathan can do grade 7 at the Christian school in Napanee. But for that to happen, we are trusting for our monthly support to come in. This church is part of that monthly support, and we're grateful for that. We do have the prayer cards and other things out on the table, so if you have any questions, we do have 3 weeks, and we're down to the last amount of what we need. And so if you want to know what that is, please ask us, and we'll let you know at that time. But the main thing is just to say thank you. In Cambodian culture, somakun, that is the way to bless you, just to say that we know we're not alone. And our hope that as we are in Canada is that anyone that comes across our path will be spurred on themselves to do more of what God has called you to do. Because every single one of you is created with a purpose. Every one of you has skills and talents, then they're all different. We're all the hands and feet and the head, the body, different aspects of the body of Christ. And so that would be my biggest thing that I could give any brother or sister and say, okay, how can God use you right now where you're at? What would that look like? And so if we can in any way be an encouragement, prayer support, whatever that may look like, that would be our prayer for you guys. And just for us, thank you so much for allowing us to do what we do and partnering with us. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you that you are not done with any of us. We are breathing today, so you have that plan and purpose for our lives. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for the leadership of this fellowship. I pray for the members. I pray that we would just surrender to you today. Lord, if there are things that we have done, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I ask that your blood would cleanse us and that we would walk in your holiness and your righteousness. Lord, we are righteous because of your blood, not because of anything we've done. But Lord, we know that as the Father looks down at us, if we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Lord, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Christ over us. Now, that does not give us a ticket to sin. But Lord, it allows us to walk in that grace and mercy that you freely give. So, Father, I just lift up my brothers and sisters and pray. Whatever your will is for their lives and our lives, Lord, may we just surrender today and trust in your sovereignty. Lord, be honored, be glorified. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.